And in our study of the book of Jeremiah, as we have proceeded into chapter 9, and thus in the process, Nebuchadnezzar, remember, is on his way down in the northern part of Palestine. He's coming down. Jerusalem's down here. He hasn't got there yet. And the warnings by way of Jeremiah, etc., are very, 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 very upfront. They're very, very potent. And if anyone was listening, they should pay attention. But Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem are not paying attention as they ought to. They're trusting over the back, hold your finger there, and over to chapter 7. In chapter 7, if you would, and picking up, please, in verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways, change your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not, don't trust in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. To say it three times to make an emphasis, we have a temple that belongs to God. There's no way on earth that anyone, no matter how bad anything is or anyone is, this temple will protect us. This temple will protect us. Not the God of the temple. The temple will protect us. We aren't related to God. We're unbelieving. We're disobedient. We're apostate. And coming, going into apostasy. So we're trusting the temple. Back over to chapter 9. They're trusting themselves. Now, before we do that quickly, but there, I would remind you at the relevancy of the book of Jeremiah and the times of Jeremiah to the day in which we live. And in the process, Nebuchadnezzar's coming down. And they are under the apprehension, they're under the thinking that he's never going to get to Jerusalem. That's what they think. Now, here we are in our world, and thus, all over the place, wherever you want to go, and Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and here's the Ukraine, and here's Russia. And Russia is just fooling around till they take the Ukraine. That's all. No problem, but just there. And they're coming. So the people in the Ukraine are sitting there and hoping that it won't happen. But apart from God and his outworking of things, it will happen. It will happen. But they hope it won't happen. We hope all kinds of things aren't going to happen. We hope the terrorist, the ISIS, the people over there, that you hope they aren't going to come. They aren't going to take their passports and come over here. And since they've practiced beheading, they're very good at it. They're very good at beheading. So if I come over and I'm full of nothing to it, all I got to do is find a people, I have no problem cutting off a head. No problem at all. It's part of my life. So that won't happen, though. And all of these things are not going to happen. And they're all over the place. Where do you want to go? Europe? Europe's hoping that Russia won't do whatever. Well, they're sitting there. We're hoping that we don't hope anymore. Anyway. In the process, all of these things are happening right now. And what? What is generally Europe, America, the rest of it? The people in Africa, different tribes, countries, they're hoping that the massacre in the last village won't happen to their village. That's what they'll hope. Hopefully it won't happen. So we're all hoping. Now, so here's Nebuchadnezzar coming down, and Israel's hoping. And to make it a little more personal, here you are in your life, wherever you are, in each place in your life, and you're there, and you're hoping for thus and thus and thus, in some form, depending on your age and what you're looking for, you're hoping for something up ahead. And you're hoping for it. And you're hoping. And you're hoping that nothing, economy and the money and everything else, doesn't go sour. You're hoping. And you may not even understand all the potential dangers, but you're hoping it'll come out all right. You got the mood? You got the mood. Now, that's the mood of Jeremiah chapter 9. Now, having said that, what are you going to say to those people now? God has said all kinds of things. This time, he says something else. So now, and remember now, again, as we shared last time, chapter 9 and verse 22, or verse 21 and 2, because you need the little reminder, and I do. For death has come into our windows and has entered into our palaces, our fortresses, to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets, so that the death is, we got the doors locked, but death is going up the side of the house into our windows. The fortresses we have to protect us are no protection. Death is going right through them. And the children in the street, there aren't any. The young men playing, there aren't any. The streets are empty. Empty, empty. And verse 22, speak thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. So, and here we said the dead are going to be, the Nebuchadnezzar is just going to level them. They don't care about burying them. They aren't going to bury them. And the use of the harvester, as we shared, the handful, the harvester gathers the sheaves in wheat or whatever he's gathering, and he gets it in a bundle, ties it up, throws it down, goes to the next group, bundle, throws it down, and then he has men coming after him, or women coming to pick up each bundle. The harvestmen, Nebuchadnezzar, the men, are going to harvest bodies like they harvest wheat, and no one's going to come and pick them up. No one's going to come and pick them up. Now, keep that in mind, and we're ready, I think. Now, chapter 9, the next statement God makes. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. So God, you're telling him something, because they're all confident. They're counting on that what could happen isn't going to happen. It really isn't going to happen. And thus they have their position. People are in position. Government and power, and people have possessions and wealth and riches and this estate. You may have just a little hut somewhere, but here's the people with a lot, and they have power and servants and military and whatever, and who's going to touch them? And so they're very confident in their position, in their possessions, in their power, in their leadership, and they're all caught up in being influenced and influencing. They're all encouraging one another, it's all going to be okay. And remember, we read that in two or three times already. Jeremiah has said, you're going to say peace, peace, when there is no peace. There isn't any, but they're going to say it. And you guys are going to believe it. Now, keeping in mind that in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And the word glory is used in verse 23 and in verse 24. And we share together that the word glory, it has to do with boasting, exalting oneself. And it comes from the verb and the noun, etc. To move, motion, to move very briskly, to move tumultuously, to move with great violence. And it has to do with irradiating the sun, not the sun, the rays of the sun, the light rays, all of the power that's coming out of the sun up there in the sky, all of those radiating waves vibrating coming down. Wow. And they're moving briskly, violently. Wow. And we live under them. We live because of them. Now, that's the word, glory, to move briskly, violently, to come forward. And thus it means to shine. The sun shines. The rays irradiate. They shine out. They are thrown out, vast, furious, as it were, consistently. So the word glory, glory, praise. The well-being, to speak of well-being, to be, I'm well off, I'm boasting. And thus, it's in reflexive. Reflexive means that we're, watch now, I'm boasting, like this raise, I'm boasting. And I'm going to throw out my wisdom. I'm going to trust my wisdom, and I'm going to throw out my wisdom out here so you can see it. Reflexive. I'm throwing it out, and I'm bringing it right back to myself. I'm throwing it out for you to see, and I'm gathering it all up, coming back to me. Boast. Glory. Reflexive. Wow. You got the mood? That's what they're doing. Now, if you can, let's see, remind ourselves what they're doing. They're going and glorying. They're glorying in their wisdom, wise man and his wisdom. And you will remember, without turning there, that Pharaoh, what did you do against God and Moses? He called all of his wise men, there's your word, wise. He called all his wise men to come and do all kinds of miracles and power to overcome Moses and God. He called his wise men. Now, having said that, over to Ecclesiastes, please. Chapter 1. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, picking up, if I can, in verse 17. Remember, Solomon is going to tell you he's been given wisdom as no one else in the whole world. No one else has ever been given wisdom, and he never went to school. He never went anywhere except to sit at the king's table. But God gave it to him, wonderful wisdom, above all else, above no one. There's no one. Oh, of course, the believers have a wonderful advantage in Christ, the Lord himself, but Solomon stands out. Now, chapter 1, verse 17. Solomon, what are you going to tell me? And I gave my heart to know wisdom, there's your word, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is a vexation of spirit. When you read vexation of spirit, think of chasing the wind. How profitable, next time it's a windy day, I want you to chase the wind. And I want you to tell me how profitable it was for you to catch it. You're running after the wind. I want you to catch the wind. Vexation of spirit, chasing the wind. Fruitless, useless, that's right. But, verse 18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So the more you know, the more you have to deal with. Now, that's why little children who haven't got a whole lot yet, usually, they don't own a smartphone till they're three. Now, so here they are, and they're coming along, and they don't have a lot. So their world is limited, and that's why they have so much energy, because they can give themselves to playing blocks or whatever they're doing fully. You, you're not an adult, have 1,000,000,000 things in your mind, all going. You don't even know they're there in your subconscious, eating away at your energy. And you're doing. They pop into your head. They pop out of your head, in the head. That's what you're doing. They don't have that. So now, God, here we are. Knowledge. What's knowledge do? Knowledge has to be, you have to deal with it. If you didn't know anything about the Ukraine or Iran, Afghanistan, Turkey, wherever you want to go, Israel, Syria, if you didn't know anything, you wouldn't, what do you know? Nothing. Just pizza, and here we are. But the more you know, the more that is there. Now, and thus, in chapter 2, verse 3, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, foolishness, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So I want to see, let's give myself to everything that the world is doing, and let's see how it goes. Down to verse 16. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Would you tell me, Solomon said, wise, would you tell me the difference between the man with 10 degrees and the man with none? What is the difference between them? In the light of heaven, in the light of God, what on earth is the difference? Now, what does it mean? Well, if we have a lot of 10 degrees, got all that, we feel pretty powerful, pretty potent, we feel that we're above people, we have the advantage over people. And what were they doing? They were glorying in their wisdom. They were counting on, we have a plan, we have a thing, we've always had it, it's always worked for us, it'll keep on working. That's what they say. Now, over if you would please. We need to do it just to do it. 1 Corinthians, even though we were there last time, but in order to put it to the heart for us, so there's no question, and I'll read it very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 19. 1 and 19, 1 Corinthians. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent, those who try to put it all to work. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe, the one who knows the law and has all the rules? Where is the disputer of this world that wants to argue about everything? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? How so? Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them who believe. You got to believe. He's going to be, no. That's why the Jews wouldn't believe. The Gentiles aren't going to believe. Sliding down, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign. Give us a sign that your authority. Well, the only sign I'll give you is the sign of the prophet Jonah. And the Greeks, Gentiles, seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks of the Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which is called, both Jews, Greeks, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So when you're all done putting it together, who wins? God does. You thought your thoughts, and you tried to match your thoughts in the little pea brain of your head. You tried to match your thoughts with my thoughts that are higher than the heavens. And how did you do? When you're all done. Just think of all, I told you that 100 times, just think of all the volumes in the Library of Congress, the millions of them. And how much, if you stood in the hallway as you went in and looked up at all this stuff, how much would you say you knew of all the knowledge in the Library of Congress? 20%? How about 0.003? Maybe. No, that's too high. 0.0004. No, that's still too high. Well, anyway, we got a lot of knowledge. And we sit there And that's what they were doing. Glory not. You guys in Jerusalem are counting on what? You're counting on your wisdom. You're counting on your knowledge of history and everything, and you've interpreted it and twisted it to come out the temple of the Lord, and you're counting on this and you're believing that, and you're listening to the false prophets when there's peace, when there is no peace, and you're doing all this stuff. And it isn't going to work. It's not going to work. So then come over to the positive, as you know, verse 29. In chapter 1 of Corinthians, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And if you want to talk about anything, you want to brag about anything, you want to be excited about anything, verse 31, but according as it is written, he that glorieth, if you're going to glory, you're going to boast, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus in the process. So, if you're going to do it, but they aren't doing that. They're trusting in their knowledge. They feel good. I understand this. I think that. This is how I think about things. And we trust that, don't we? This is how we think about it. And we're trusting it. But we have no control of it whatsoever, how it's going to go. And I listen to the interpreters, people interpreting and commentaries, and everyone's trying to figure out what's going on in the world. And God knows, and the devil knows what he's trying to do. But the world's trying to guess at when, what, where, how, and that's all guessing game. And then they don't want to think about the awesomeness that it could be really like the Bible said. And we don't want to think that the Bible's true, do we? No, that doesn't come out good for us if the Bible's true. Wow. So now, having said that, to glory, over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter 3. And you would recall, chapter 3, you remember, God is trying to tell them, but they got to catch on. I want to catch on. Chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Now, having said all that, therefore don't. Don't get caught up in your own wisdom. Verse 7. Be not wise, there's your little word, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So you're looking at your own wisdom, and you're looking at how you feel. I think I understand it. I understand it enough. I'm wise enough. Hold it. But you aren't. You aren't. Let me, bear with me. Hold your finger right here. I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. Just, it'll say it. I could try to say it, but better you read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Picking up, please, in verse 1. Chapter 8 to the Corinthians. And they were sort of huffy puffy. That they had, we're pretty good. All the persecution and stuff is up in the north in Thessalonica. We're pretty good down here in southern Greece. I mean, hey, it isn't bad. We're doing, we have our plan and our picnic and everything. And they were trusting in the wrong, and they were missing out on what God told them to do. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Mm-hmm. Knowledge, what does knowledge do? It puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So, God, I've got to look to you. If I'm going to look to my knowledge, it's only going to make me puffed up and proud. and I'm going to get sort of, I know this and I know that, and I know it. And any of you that go to school and study and all that stuff, you realize that there's no way on earth. The more you try, the less you know. That's all. The more you work at it, it's overwhelming. And God, and I say it all the time, you'd have no idea how stupid we are. I am. No idea. You don't know it until you start doing it. You say, wow. Now, so verse 2. And if any man think he knoweth anything, give him 3 degrees. Oh, hold it. If any man knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. That took care of that one. When you thought you knew something, you know nothing. You know nothing at all. That's very humbling. We need to be humbled. Now, back over in Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 8. Be not wise in your own eyes, and it shall be health, verse 8, 3 and 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, and it will give you the fullness of life. If you're going to look, you want to have a healthy, be a healthy person inside, so it helps your body that you live in. Now, having said that, and therefore, don't be wise, Israel, back over to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. And therefore, don't be looking to your wisdom. You're counting on it, guys. Don't do it. Look to God. And I would remind you, without turning there, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, etc., Israel was to be mocked, and all the nations of the world were to look at Israel. Israel left Egypt. Egypt was a center, a depository, like Alexandria. Egypt was a center for knowledge. Wonderful, wonderful knowledge. And Israel was out of Egypt, and Israel would be noted by all the nations, including Egypt, because as they honored God and His Word, such a relationship, such knowledge would get the attention of all of the nations of the world. Israel didn't do that. And here is God telling Israel in Jeremiah, you failed to do what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to trust my word and my person. And you would have had true wisdom. You would have had a wonderful testimony. And the world, with all of its knowledge and ingenuity, could never compete with the knowledge of how, what life is all about. They don't have it. You would have it. But they didn't do it. They just didn't do it. And so here they are. They're trying to be wise in their own eyes. And they're glorying in it and counting that it won't happen. So now when you come in chapter 23, verse 23, it says, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. So there again, it's reflexive. Here's the mighty man, strong, powerful, valor, victorious, boom, out it comes. And reflexive, he throws it out and said, wow, and brings it back into himself. Wow. Boasting of his knowledge, of his strength, of his power, his glory, his valor, his courage. Look at it. You'll see the word over in chapter 9. In chapter 9, you read it, if I can, in verse 3. Chapter 9, verse 3. And they bent their tongues like their bows, remember, for lies, the people. But they are not valiant. They are not valiant, mighty, strong. That's the word, strong, mighty, valor, full of valor, courage. They are not valiant for the truth. They are not caught up in the truth. They're caught up in stupidity, as you keep reading. And they, in truth, upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. They just don't know me. And they're all caught up trying to be, and they aren't looking for the strength and power of truth. They're trying to trust in error and evil to come out good. And you remember Isaiah 5 and 20, we call bitter sweet, sweet bitter, light dark, and etc. Truth, error. And we turn light, darkness, we turn it all upside down, good, evil. And we turn it all upside down. And thus, in chapter 9, and picking up, if I can, verse 3, valor, bind, to bind together, make it powerful, to capable. The word is used of capable of bearing arms, to be a military person and have the arms, carrying the weapons going forth, to be able to do so. Thus, strong. Now, in the light of that strength, would you go over me, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes in chapter 9 again. And picking up, if I can, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, going directly to verse 10. 9:10 Ecclesiastes. Now you're looking at strength. Don't get caught up in your strength. Don't get caught up in your wisdom. Verse 10. 9:10 Ecclesiastes. Whatsoever thy hand hath, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So when you go and you're terminated, there's no more earthly anything. So you're counting on anything you've got here. It's all gone when you leave. It's all gone. Verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun on planet earth, everyone coming and going, that the race, looking all over the world, that the race is not to the swift, but boy, can they run fast. But it isn't going to be to them. Nor the battle to the strong, there's your word, strong, might, don't be trusting in your strength. The battle isn't to the strong. No, it isn't to them either. All right. Neither yet bread to the wise. No, not to them. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. No, not to them. Nor yet favor to men of skill. No, not to them. Well, then where is it? Time and chance happeneth to them all. So will you make all of the division, the strong, the weak, the rich, the poor, when you're all done? The coming and going in life? How do you control who gets sick and who doesn't get sick? Who dies and who lives? Who has anything? How does anything go? We don't control it. You don't win over it. You can't run over it and be a conqueror. You can get a Olympic prize, but that's all you get. And then you're aging. You can't run anymore. And you die. So now, in the light of that, don't glory in the might. Don't glory in the mighty. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might. Now, over to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Picking up on word just to add to it. Psalm 33. May I start, in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looked down from heaven, and behold, all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth, everybody, everywhere. He fashioneth their heart. They're all humans. They're all made of body, soul, and spirit. They all have a human nature, etc. He considereth all their works, everything they do, and their coming and going, the battle, the running, the riches, the wealth, they're trying to get and have and survive and succeed. Verse 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host, and a mighty man, there's your word, is not delivered by much strength. It's never going to happen. A horse is a vain thing, verse 17, for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. So God, all they had to do was honor you about their trusting in their system, their horse, their gun, their whatever, against battle that they have no power over and no way to win, no way to stop it. They're trusting it. Wow. And therefore, they're glorying in their strength. They don't want to do that. They shouldn't do that. Jeremiah chapter 17. I want you to pick up the word now that you'll see, the strength, might. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, picking up if I can. Oh, I'm going to go, if you'll let me, if I may, verse 5. 17:5 of Jeremiah. Thus saith, you're familiar with this, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now do you see the word strength? It's spelled M-A-N. Man. 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 We try to be a man. Our humanness, our humanness. We're trusting our humanness. Cursed be the man that trusts in his own humanness. Cursed be that man. There's no strength in it. There's no strength there. There's no nothing. We're trusting in ourselves. We're trusting, as you know elsewhere, we're trusting in a man's legs, a horse's legs. What are you going to do with them? You're trusting them. They aren't able to help you. They aren't able to rescue you. There's no way to, it's too big now. Thus, now, on the positive side, down to verse 7. Blessed is the man, here's your word again, strength, might. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So it isn't going to be trust in self, verse 5. You're going to trust in God. And if we don't trust in God, we aren't going to be strong. That's all. We've got to trust in the Lord to have the strength that we need, and God has to help us to do it. And if we don't look to God, it isn't going to happen. Over, if you would please, back to Psalm 71. So God, we need to go. If we aren't trusting you, it isn't going to work, and you tell us not to glory in our own strength or something, we have strong enough. And you know what happens when you get older, you don't get stronger. You get stronger. You do get stronger. But you also get weaker. Your body gets, but your mind is stronger than ever. So God help us. So here we are. And in Psalm 71, picking up verse 16, you'll see the word right off. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. That's how you're going to go. That's right. Not in your own strength. Nope. Not in the strength. Cursed be the man who trusteth in man. The man who trusts in God is going to be fine. So you're going to be strong enough. That's right. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And while you're thinking of that, verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now, verse 18, now when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength, thy strength, unto this generation. But you're old, that's right, but you're stronger. And that's what the world needs to see. They don't need to see physical strength. They don't need doubt. That's all right, but that isn't going to do it. That isn't going to do it. No, there's another kind of strength. And that's what people need. And only God you give that strength. That kind of movement of the heart. That you give that strength. Now hang on. So, now, in the light of that, picking up please, over in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Israel. Chapter 30, looking to God. Don't you be glorying in strength. Don't be doing that. That's not going to do it for you. And the day comes you can't do it, and if you trusted your strength and the strength is gone, you're going to be one depressed person. Depressed and discouraged because you can't do it anymore. Can't do it. You can't play blues. You can't do that because you trusted in it. And God help us. Isaiah 30, please. Going directly, if I can, verse in the light of the context, verse 15. 30, 15. For thus saith the Lord, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. That's all we gotta do is come back and rest in who you are, and in quietness and confidence. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And there's your word. See? But what did you do to get that strong? Be still and know that I am God. And that's a strength that you couldn't get anywhere else in the world. Wow. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you wouldn't do it. And the dummies didn't do it. And here in Jeremiah, 100 years later, they didn't do it. They did, they're trusting in their own strength. And God says, don't be glorying and boasting. It's that you guys are strong enough and able to. I'm able to fight 10 men at once. Well, you may be able to fight 100 men at once. But when you're all done fighting, there's 1,000 men. And you're going to lose. It's overwhelming. The odds against you. In the world, in this world, the odds against you of succeeding are 1,000,000 to nothing. 1,000,000 odds that you are never going to succeed. And you have zero hope. In and of the flesh can never, never please God. Glory, wisdom, strength. Wow, we'll do it. No, you won't. No, it won't. So you have to get where you get it cleared up in your head. Israel hasn't got it clear. Haven't got it clear at all. And they wouldn't do it. Over, if you would please, to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah and chapter 9. Here's Nehemiah after the Babylonian captivity. After Nebuchadnezzar has done his damage. They're back in the land where Jerusalem, the temple is down, or was down, building it. Temple, the wall, etc. And here in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they're putting it all together. And thus, I'm interested in this business. Are you guys glorying in wisdom? Are you glorying in strength? Chapter 9, picking up in verse 30. History lesson. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, God's bearing them, and testifieth against them by thy spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear? No. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands, Assyria, Nebuchadnezzar, etc. Verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them. Here we are in Ezra, Nehemiah, and the remnant of Israel, Jews, in Jerusalem. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Verse 32. Now therefore, our God, the great God, and then the word mighty, strong. Don't glory in your might. God is mighty. Not you. God is. And Ezra, Nehemiah, have you got it? I got it. God, here we are. And we aren't gonna, you're God great, you're mighty, strong, and terrible, who keepest covenant and mercy. Let not all the trouble seem little to thee. Here they are trying to struggle to get through, and pretty soon Malachi's coming, it's all going downhill. But boy, they're trying to hang in there. Verse 32. Now therefore, great and mighty and terrible God who keepeth covenant mercy, let not all the trouble seem little, L-I-T-T-L-E, before thee. God, it's only little. In the light of the big picture, in the light of Satan, in the light of all that's going to happen in the tribulation, it's nothing. God, little. That hath come upon us. All this stuff. But our kings and our princes and our priests and our prophets and on our fathers and on all thy people since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, verse 33, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. So they got it. God, here we are in America. America, wonderful land of the free, home of the brave, all of it. But all of the wonderful history is vanishing. Why? So all we can say is, really, realistically, we aren't going to get it back. It's even going to get worse. Ooh. Now, but, God, would you be merciful to us in the little trouble we have? In the light of the big trouble of the tribulation, this is nothing. What we're going to go through is nothing. The tribulation's horrible. God, would you help us in our little bit here? Would you help us? Help us. We deserve it all. We aren't excusing ourselves. Our country has eroded over the years, and we have given away, to where, like we said, the representatives say, just swear by the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, you're going to abide by it. That's a bunch of baloney now, isn't it? For the most part. A bunch of baloney. Doesn't mean a thing. And Putin can, isn't it that his name? Whatever. He can do whatever he wants. He can lie, cheat. Anyone can do whatever they want. I mean, you're after an end. Who cares what you do and what you say? It doesn't have to be right. It just has to work. What you're after. That's all you have to do. That's our world. Wow. So now, in closing, or if you would, please. Jeremiah. Back to Jeremiah. We're going backwards in time. Jeremiah chapter 32. And you will notice, please, chapter 32. And picking up, if I can, remember Jeremiah is told the land's going to be given back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah and in the future, ultimately. And so, therefore, Jeremiah is to trust God that it's all going to be restored as he meant it to be. Verse 17, chapter 32. Our Lord God, the prayer, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard. Remember the word hard, extraordinary, wonderful. There's nothing impossible to you. Everything's wonderful to you, God. Everything's nothing to it. There's nothing too hard for you. No. That thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children. So you're merciful, and you allow the tide of erosion to keep going. That's where we are today, unto the bosom of their children. After them, the great and mighty, there's your word, be not mighty men. Don't trust in your might. Trust in the wonderful might of God. The mighty God. Trust in the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Trust in God. Look to God. You want to help yourself? To get out of yourself? You're going to have to look to God. If you're going to keep looking to yourself and what you can do and how you feel and your power and your wisdom and your resources, and you're going to trust them all, you're going to try to do it, it won't work. It'll all come to nothing. So I want to learn that sooner than later. And thus the end of, the end of the prayer, Jeremiah 32. Then came, chapter 32, verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh that trusts in itself. Cursed is the man that trusteth in himself. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard, too wonderful, too extraordinary for me? Is there anything too hard? If you don't think I can make this all happen again, no matter how bad, tribulation, you think Nebuchadnezzar, and then there's Titus, and then there's the tribulation. And if you think there's nothing ever going to get right, And it is. Because nothing is impossible. You could be like Israel, full of dead men's bones. But if I decide, those men will live. Just like that. And that's not magic. And that's not dreaming. That's just me, said God. That's all. So I don't want you to trust in your wisdom and smarts. You ought to get smart. Don't get me wrong. And you ought not to strengthen this strength, boy. You know, to do that. Wow. No. God, I'm going to learn. I have to be careful. I'm not overly trusting in myself. And underly trusting in you. I want to trust you, God, with all my heart. I don't want myself. I don't want to serve myself. I want to get out of myself. And the only way I can do that is to trust your saving grace that crucified me on Calvary's cross so that I don't have to trust myself. I don't have to worry about myself or wonder about myself. I don't have to do that. God, you terminated the whole relationship on the negative side by my death so that I can enjoy the positive side by your life. Simple as that. And you live with your heart and do the best you can in work, home, school, play, trusting God. Anyway, we've got to stop. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Wonderful truth. And God's trying to help them, but they aren't going to get helped, remember. But we're going to follow through. And you may have a particular request that you'd like. Remember the Bible lines? Remember all the vacation Bible school that took place? Remember the conference coming up, if the Lord tarries? Remember one another and...